today, you know, I was forced to realize when I was coming to speak that it's been exactly 30 years ago that I was a freshman at Murray State University. 30 years, and I'm here to tell you the time goes quickly. But I have several messages for you today. One is, I loved being a student here. I loved every minute of my opportunity here at Murray State. It gave me so many opportunities, and it really opened my mind. And so I hope that you enjoy your time here and you're grateful for the opportunities. I always tell my daughter that we can always find people that have more than us, less than us. But if we're grateful for what we have and we work hard to move forward, life is so much better. And so, as I think about my life, and I share my message today, there's really two messages I want to leave you with at the end of the day, and that is one, to be nice. I know that seems simple, but in this world, sometimes it's a hard concept. Be kind to one another. Understand the impact your words and your actions have on another's life. It can profoundly affect someone in a positive way, but it can also end a life. And I'm going to share a story today that illustrates that. It's not overly dramatic. Secondly, find your purpose while you're here. I think that's the greatest advantage, is it challenges you here at Marine State to think about a wider world and what your impact can be. So think about your purpose and what your legacy will be. So Murray State University wasn't the start of my story, but it certainly has been my launching pad. I grew up in a neighboring community, one of nine children. We didn't have a lot of money. There was always an expectation that I would go to college, particularly for my dad. My parents didn't go to college. None of my siblings graduated from college, but I did. And from this time I was 10 or 12, I guess, my goal was to go to law school. My greatest hero was John F. Kennedy, and I have to say he'd already died before I was born. He is not that old. But his message always was about service. How do you contribute to make the world a better place? And so I always thought that that was going to be through a law degree, a law career. So I started here as a political science major. You know the end of the story already, that I didn't end there. But I started, and I'm glad I did, because again, in where I grew up, in Grace County, I lived in a pretty insulated, small world. 26 in my graduating class. There's not a person of color in my school. We had two churches in our town, and the preacher of one of them was our principal. And as a result of that, you know, we didn't hear much about other lifestyles, other cultures, other religions. And in fact, in many ways, it felt like I was going to a Christian school. We weren't allowed to have dances. We did have prom. A lot of kids didn't dance because the church didn't believe in dancing. We couldn't play cards. We couldn't wear shorts. Again, a pretty small world. So when I came to Murray State and I started in the political science arena, the greatest gift they gave me was to challenge what I thought, what I knew, and to think differently and wider, to embrace other people's beliefs and feelings. So political science became my minor, and then it went away. And I became a public relations major, and I've never, ever regretted that. I love every day what I do, and the opportunity to build a brand and an image for a company is something that's exciting to me. It's a great responsibility, and I love it. And again, the opportunities that have come along the way have been because I earned a degree at Murray State University. So I came to college. My father was a disabled veteran from World War II, so the Veterans Administration paid for my tuition. I worked on campus as a student in the Educational Leadership and Counseling Department, and somehow we made it work. I graduated in 4 years. The law school thing didn't quite leave me yet. I took the LSAT, but I didn't quite, frankly, do so great on it. And I decided that really wasn't where my passion was. So I did move to Louisville. I earned my master's in public administration from the University of Louisville, and I went to work for Leadership Louisville through the Louisville Chamber. And the great thing about that organization, again, it's funny how things whisper to you throughout your life that you don't always realize, but it's an organization that finds the best and brightest in the Louisville community to find a way to take that energy and to make it better for the citizens of Louisville, Jefferson County. So then another opportunity arose. Again, I worked here on campus, and a professor from that department became the commissioner of the Department of Arts in Frankfort. She allowed me an opportunity, because of my affiliation with Murray State, to work there in state government. So I did that. And along the way, my father became terminally ill. he had esophagus cancer, and my goal was to get back home. He died on Christmas Eve, 1989, and I didn't get back before he died. I was with him at the time, but I did go ahead and make the move back to Paducah. And my first job was with the Kentuckiana Girl Scout Council. And then I worked for Paducah Community College. I worked for Lockheed Martin, which now you may know as USEC, the United States Enrichment Corporation. In the last 15 years, I've been the marketing director at Paducah Bank. And I think the common core has always been for me with those companies is how can I give back? Again, always still looking for what my purpose could be. And it could have been a lot of things. It could have been cancer, American Cancer Society. But again, it just hadn't come to me yet. When I worked for the Girl Scouts, we started troops in public housing in Paducah. And life has a way of giving you some perspective. As little as I thought I had growing up, these girls had nothing, including hope for many of them. When we would take them on an outing to the mall or to the library or to the park, skating rink, they'd never been to any of those places. Their life was public housing, school, sometimes church. But their dreams were to live there, or they felt like they had no choice. That was interesting for me. Those trips still continue today. We won a National HUD Award for starting those, and many girls have seen that there are opportunities and they can do bigger and better things. Another opportunity came when I worked at USEC. We were just a couple miles from Heath High School. And all of you are probably too young to remember this, but December 1st, 1997, there was a school shooting. A boy opened fire with a gun, he was 14 years old, said he had been bullied and killed three girls at that prayer circle. Another girl was disabled as a result of it. And I remember we had operated an emergency operations center. We hadn't really gone on lockdown, but we asked people to stay on the plant site because we didn't know what was happening, but many of them had children there. We used the PA system to try to share what was happening. And ultimately, unfortunately, two of the girls that were killed, their parents worked at USEC. So again, another opportunity arose, and a lot of it is most companies that you'll work for want to have employees that are going to give back to the community. Because when the community's stronger, they're stronger. And so I chaired a Heath High School Memorial Garden, $100,000 Memorial Garden, to not only honor the memory of those girls and those affected that day, also be a reminder to never forget what happened there. And Stephen Curtis Chapman came, you may know, he's a Paducan, a Christian music artist. He did a free concert to provide money for counseling services for those girls' families. But again, nothing really resonated for me to think this is going to be my legacy. And then 2 years ago, I found out about an 8-year-old little girl who was being bullied. She was being pinched and her hair was being pulled. She was being isolated from her friends, tormented, isolated. And that little girl started having stomach spasms, panic attacks. Her doctor said that she was clinically depressed. She was 8. She had to be put on antidepressants. By the end of the school year, that same doctor said she needed to be removed from school because she was emotionally unsafe. That little girl is my little girl. And the interesting thing on this journey that we've started, which has become our passion, is how many kids suffer in silence? How many kids are battling with this and feel like they have no one to help them? What happened with Morgan is, interestingly enough, I work for a company that allows me to work her school schedule. So I take her to school every day, I pick her up. I walk her into school every day. I was with her mother every year. So how did I miss that? I had that child when I was almost 38 years old, became the center of my life. For her to not tell me was shocking to me. But I discovered it on my own going into the school. I started noticing things, like she'd walk past her friends to sit with this girl. Or on the playground, the girl always had her hands on her, controlling mechanism. So I started asking questions. But again, Morgan didn't say anything. No indication that she was having any problems. Again, not uncommon for someone who's experiencing bullying. And so one day I just asked her. I started hearing the girl could have had a violent background at home. So she got in the car one day and I said, Morgan, Is Mary, we call Holy Mary, is Mary doing anything unkind to you? And she reaches up in the back seat, goes under my hairline and pinches me hard. And that's when the story started unfolding. And that's really when the physical ailment started too. She was holding it in, and once it was out, she was starting to show the symptoms. She'd sit down to dinner, and she'd have to get up and go to bed because the stomach pains were so great. And it was a scary time for me and for her. I didn't know a lot about bullying. I didn't know how to fight it, how to change it, how to help her. But I told her early on, bad things are going to happen in life. We can ignore it, we can blame others, but we can be part of the solution. And I knew if my legacy was nothing more than her knowing that I stood up for her, that was going to be good enough for me. She decided early on that she didn't want to be part of the solution. Now, we were still experiencing bullying. And the first thing Morgan did was she created a video, a YouTube video. And she went upstairs in our house. She did it. She wouldn't let me in the room. And honestly, she's still sometimes uncomfortable watching it. But I want to share it with you today so that you can get an indication of what bullying felt like to Morgan.
Hi, my name is Morgan, and this is my story. One day it started while we were at recess. She would start pulling me away from my friends. She'd start pinching me in the back of my neck, and she'd start pulling my hair. I just thought she was angry about something, but it kept going on. And she'd think that that's being nice to me. So she'd hold on to me and she'd pinch me. And she'd grab me by the arm and she'd pull me wherever she was. I tried to run away from her, but she wouldn't let me. And I didn't tell my mom at first because I was afraid something would happen. And one day she asked me and I said yes. After it happened, she'd get even more mad and meaner at me because I told on her. And I was afraid. Well, after they made her stop bullying me, I couldn't be by her. I couldn't be near her. And nobody knew that she was bullied. So when I was out on the playground, she would play with my friends, and she'd play with all my friends, and I would just felt kind of lonely. When they found out about it, the school would help me. And if you do get bullied, you should tell a parent, a teacher, even a friend. They help. It may be hard, but it's important to stand up for yourself. I don't want to be bullied anymore, and I don't want anybody else to be bullied. So if you want to post a story on my page, feel free to.
So again, I want you to remember her face when I tell a story about another 8-year-old in a little bit. But she was 8 years old. And I have to admit, I had some failings as a parent. One, I didn't prepare Morgan to be bullied. Morgan didn't fit what I felt like was those kids that are targeted. Kids were overweight, you have disabilities. For some reason, that was what I thought. But what I came to learn is 160,000 kids are afraid to go to school every day. 13 million kids will be bullied this year. A teen is bullied every 7 seconds, and kids as young as 7, younger than my daughter, are now self-harming. Cutting themselves, burning themselves, because their pain is so great, they learn to do that on their own, to release that pain. Think about that. Think about that, 7-year-old. Kentucky leads the nation in teen suicide attempts. We lead the nation. The Kennedy Center has declared bullying to be a human rights issue. Bullying happens because we allow it to happen. It's as simple as that. And as we went through our journey of bullying, was interesting because I was very involved in school. Morgan and I doubled the number of books in the library. We re-landscaped the schools. I was what I would consider a popular parent in the school. But when this issue came up, I saw how deep the fear is that circled bullying. Because what happened is, it became Morgan's fault. Why didn't she tell anybody? She didn't tell anybody. It's Morgan's fault. She should have spoke up. Well, when I asked Morgan why she didn't tell anyone, she said, because I thought it would get worse. And that is the power of a bully. So, for several months, we worked several scenarios. We asked for the child to be moved to another classroom. We were not granted that option at first. Tried to keep them in separate places in the line. But a bully always has a way to get to their target. And so I would come in the mornings with Morgan, and I'd see the girl get up and stand at Morgan's feet. Or she'd follow her in the bathroom, and Morgan talked about how she'd get to her friends first. The school would not tell anyone Morgan was being bullied. And they didn't tell anyone that this girl was bullying her. But they told them to stay away from one another. So what would happen is they would go out on the playground, and the girl would get to Morgan's friends first. And so then Morgan became the isolated one. Her sister, older sister, confronted Morgan in the bathroom one day. And the final incident was an elbow to her shoulder on the playground. So it came in waves, and I think that was the difficult part for Morgan emotionally, is she never knew when it was going to come. And we have been very frank in terms of we haven't been one to attack the school or attack the bully. First of all, I don't think that brings people together in a way that changes the culture. And I have been a believer that the school did the best they could with the skills and resources that they had. Now, 2 years ago, we weren't talking about bullying and bullying. I don't know if you were talking about it here in Murray. But what was happening is Morgan did this story, and then I did a YouTube telling my version of the story. And WPSD picked up the story, and then there was a follow-up story. So teachers started posting on Facebook, we have a safe school. Lone Oak Elementary is a safe place to go to school. And I said, why are you posting that? Well, people are going to think that it's unsafe here, that they don't want to send their kids here. 2 years ago, they weren't acknowledging that bullying happens everywhere. It doesn't just happen in schools. It happens at homes, churches. It happens in the workplace. I read that 37% of the workforce is bullied. It's everywhere. So the best way to change a culture is to bring people along. Now, I am a believer of holding people accountable, and that is what we did. Morgan chose not to leave the school. She's doing great 2 years later. She's not on any medication. And the biggest lesson we've learned is, one, hopefully, that we're better people, that we're nicer. You know, a lot of times I don't think we intend to be unkind. We're just hurried. We seem indifferent to people, though. So I ask you, if you will, the rest of this day at least, to really be sensitive to your interactions with other people. And the greatest lesson for Morgan is she knows she has a voice and she can use it. She can be herself and she can stand up for herself. Again, one of those failings I talked about, I didn't teach Morgan resiliency either. Again, I had her almost 38. I'd warm up her blanket when she'd get up in the morning. I'd warm up her towels when she got out of the dryer. Her life was very insulated in terms of she'd never experienced violence. So when she did, I hadn't prepared her for that. She didn't know what to do with it, and she didn't come to me. So what have we done? Again, Morgan's legacy hopefully will be that she knows she made a difference. And so for the last 2 years, we have been committed to changing the culture of bullying. And Marie has been very supportive. Jody Coker, the Murray Human Rights Commission, often has led the way for me. We were in New York last month working in the Bully movie offices. I'm going to show you a clip from that movie. Has anybody seen the movie Bully? A few people? When I was looking, trying to educate myself about the issue, I came across a trailer of a movie called Bully Project. And I knew that that movie would start a national conversation if it could be seen. And when it came out, because it was an independent film, I was afraid we wouldn't get it in Paducah. And so I saw contests on social media. The top 10 voting cities in the country would get a free screening of the movie Bully. So we went to work using social media to get people to vote for Paducah. And a lot of people in Murray supported that effort. At one point, we rose to number one. The number one voting city would get the movie director Lee Hirsch to come to their town. Well, we ended up at number three, which I think is pretty cool. But Lee Hirsch watched that along the way. A small town in Western Kentucky, number 3, Indianapolis ended up being the winner. And he did come to Paducah, and we had a special screening, and we did a Q&A. He has remained committed to Paducah. And our ultimate goal is for the governor to appoint a statewide task force on bullying. I believe that Kentucky can lead the way. I believe Paducah and Murray would try to link communities in terms of how do we make this culture better. I know I spoke at a script writing class here at Murray State. I think it's been a year and a half ago. It was interesting to me because the reaction was interesting. They were going to write some PSAs for us. There was a boy in the young man in the back, and he had his arms crossed, the whole time. Big guy, looked like he could have been a football player. And I thought, he doesn't believe anything I'm saying. And one girl got up crying and left during my presentation. Afterwards, he raised his hand, and he was from Paducah. He went to a Christian school, and he talked about how he had been bullied. But because of his size, nobody believed him, and that he would have taken his life had it not been for his faith. Another girl came up to me, again, a college student. So many of you may be feeling the effects of what happened to you earlier. She told me she became anorexic as a result of a mother and daughter who tormented her throughout school. So the bullying movie. We are now buying bully educational toolkits for any school in Kentucky that will use them. It includes the movie, and I want to show you this trailer because I do encourage you. You can buy it at Walmart now. You can buy it all over, and it is a documentary that takes you into what bullying really looks like in America.
The last couple days, we had heard that Tyler had his head shoved into a wall locker. He said he's a geek.
My concern is that you were making someone feel so uncomfortable they didn't want to be in school.
I feel kind of nervous going to school because I like learning, but I have trouble with making friends.
Kids had told him his work was to go hang himself. And I think he got to the point where enough was enough.
Tonight, a tragic situation.
A Perkins boy, just 11 years old, believed to have been desperate enough to take his own life.
This is an awfully complicated and difficult issue.
Kids will be kids, boys will be boys. They're just cruel at this age.
Here, what we get is nothing's wrong. We didn't do anything. Everything's fine.
They punch me, strangle me, take things from me, sit on me.
Give it to him hard!
He's not safe on that bus.
I've been on that bus. They are just as good as gold.
My voice is not going to pop silent. I will go to my grave until a difference is made.
We reached out to parents that have lost kids. Parents of kids that are being bullied all over the world, and it took off like wildfire.
All it takes is for one person to stand up.
Be the difference. Go out and find that one child, that new kid standing over there by himself. Be willing to stand up for it.
Everything starts with one and builds up. Eventually we have an army.
If we all do it together, we will change the world.
That's pretty powerful, but I want to show you another video because there are days that I think, do I want to keep doing this? Because it's hard. People are mean. I will tell you that a lot of times people get mad at us just because we've gotten too much publicity for being the face of bullying. It's not because we want to be, it's because nobody else will stand up and tell their story. Nobody else will stand up and tell their story. This summer we did a project called the Inside Out Project. It's an international photo exhibit. And the goal was to raise the faces and voices of 10 kids who have been bullied. Duke and Sun Channel 6, we got all kinds of press releases for 10 kids. Not one boy came over. Not one boy. We had trouble getting 10 girls. We had calls from people who said, I'd love to do that, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the bullying, I'm afraid of the school, I'm afraid I'll be retaliated against. So I started to do 9 girls that were bullied and one who wasn't. But then, if we're going to change the culture, we have to work past the fear. We have to work past the fear. Those girls needed to stand up and say, I was bullied. I know we've gotten, in October, again, I think because we've taken a positive approach, we've been able to get some pretty good national press. When we worked in the Bully office, Morgan and I were invited to write an op-ed piece for the Huffington Post that ran last month. And because of our affiliation with a group called Not in Our Town, it's a national organization that started in 1998 with hate crimes across America. And now they have an arm called Not in Our School. And they have been very supportive. I know they came to Murray State with the CLU conference. And as a result of them, we had two CNN opportunities last month. One about do we cry bully too often? And the other was a Google Hangout we did, which I didn't know what that was, but I learned quickly what a great opportunity that was. And one of the questions on the Google Hangout was, are we making victims out of bullies? That made me mad, actually. Because it said, we're not victims, we're change agents. Those kids are my heroes that endure that every day, and no one stands up for them. I know we looked at some kids at Washington Street Baptist Church, and I remember a girl raised her hand, and she said, what do you do when you tell everyone you're being bullied and no one helps you? That's what's happening to her. And eventually, they lose hope. I know we had a 10-year-old in Paducah a year ago that wrapped a Nintendo cord around their neck. They were being bullied, and they can no longer endure it. A 15-year-old Madisonville girl, we got letters of endorsement from around the state. Murray State's president, Western's, UK's, Louisville mayor. We got the Kentucky Chamber. People from around the state that are helping us try to get this statewide alliance that said bullying affects us. And we've really tried to tie this to quality of life measures. 160,000 kids don't go to school every day. That's test scores, graduation rates. One out of five bullies will spend time in jail by the time they're 25. That's criminal justice. The mental health rates with the suicide rates. You can go on and on. If we can change those measurements, we improve the quality of life for all of us. We improve the quality of life for all of us. And I had forgotten where I was because I get off on tangents on my comment here. But my point is, that we really do have an opportunity to come together, but bullying happens one act at a time. Kindness happens one act at a time. I think people think it's so big that we can't change it. But I say, if we can change attitudes and behaviors of smoking in Kentucky, and drinking and driving, we can change attitudes and behaviors about bullying. And you know, as I was trying to figure out, is this my purpose? Again, you know, people can be unkind of. And I do remember now, I was going to show you this video. This is a video that I found on TV. It was shown on a Louisville TV station. I was in an Indiana school. A boy is beat unconscious. You will see that. And then the newscast will be critical of the school, but I'm critical of, watch the kids. No one helps him. No one goes for help. No one steps in. When did we become that intolerant? We're tolerant to violence. So I want you to see this. I want you to see it. And I have to wonder why no one helps him.
A disturbing attack at school caught on tape. A boy beaten unconscious as other students stand by and watch.
It makes you sick to your stomach, really.
This is 13-year-old Austin McDaniel, the eighth grader you see here getting pounded in this video taken at Benjamin Rush Middle School. Watch as a 15-year-old classmate in the white t-shirt slams Austin to the ground and punches him relentlessly.
It was horrifying. He is very close to the office, very close to a classroom. Not one teacher, no one helps him.
His mother claims the school let her son down. They never called 911 and waited too long to call her.
My son sat at the school with a head concussion and other injuries for an hour and 12 minutes before they called.
Beyond that, she says the school never alerted other parents or students about the attack. They simply swept it under the rug, she says. And 11 days later,
right here,
Austin's friend Logan got beat up too. He thinks it was a retaliation.
You have to like watch your back and make sure nobody's gonna attack you.
Their parents say it shouldn't have to be that way. So now they're suing the school in hopes officials will do.
Well, in there, because again, my point wasn't critical of the school, but who watched that? I would think human nature would tell you to help that kid. I was at Dumplin's for lunch today. That's where I was going to lunch if I come to town. An older woman fell outside the door and her face was bleeding. Everybody in there came out, got her something to help her, called 911. That's the way it should be. But when I talk to young people, I talk about what were your legacy in terms of your generation? And unfortunately, what people say is, you're lazy, you're unkind, you're selfish. Do I believe that? No. But unfortunately, the bullies' voices are louder than the larger majority that are kind. But the end of my story really is, why do I want to keep doing this? Morgan's doing great. It would be easy for us to hand this off and walk by. But you know what I realized, and again, it's been 2 years, and really it's been in the last few months, that I remembered another story about an 8-year-old little boy. And the coincidence was not lost on me that he was 8 years old. But when I was in school, there was an 8-year-old little boy that was being bullied by a teacher. And he had gotten paddled. He had bruises on his leg and his back. And I remember his mother took him to the doctor, and she really fought with the school to try to improve his conditions. She didn't have much success. I remember that he had to go to the bathroom. The teacher wouldn't let him, and wet his pants. Well, the mother finally did take him out of school, and she had him evaluated, and they said he was suicidal. I remember asking Morgan one time, when you feel your worst, how do you feel? And she said, I don't want to die because I had a bad day. Talk about catching your breath. This is a child that lives in a home that has all the support in the world. Look at those girls at public housing that tell me that no one listens to them. But again, little boy, 8 years old. And I knew that little boy had been in an accident when he was, I think, about 2. His mother had gone into the store, and she left him in the car with some family. He'd gotten out of the car, ran across the street, and got hit by a car. It hit him so hard that it knocked the shoes and socks off of his feet. He was in a body cast for several weeks, and he had a tumor of sorts on his brain. It wasn't malignant. They didn't have to remove it, but I'm sure it affected him. And so that little boy grew up, and 7 years ago, he took his life. That little boy was my brother. And my mother would tell you that bullying played a role in his death. Now, Mark, that's my brother, he had tried to commit suicide 12 to 14 times in the 6 months before he did take his life. And the interesting thing is, I knew he wanted to live because this was his pattern. He'd take pills. He'd call 911, they would pump his stomach, and then often they would send him to Western State Mental Hospital in Hopkinsville for a mandated 72-hour evaluation. And that's what happened this time. And I remember Mark called me the day before. Morgan had friends there, and it was loud, and I couldn't hear him. And I asked him to call me back. He didn't call me back. And the next day, while he was there, he locked the door in the hospital, which wasn't supposed to be able to be locked. He took the ceiling tile out. And he took a bed sheet and hung himself. He had a roommate, and the roommate couldn't get in, so he asked for help. The light was out. And so they opened the door, and the roommate came in. He didn't see Mark. So he went and took a shower. When he came back, he turned on the light, and there he was. He went to Jesse Stewart Hospital in Hopkinsville, and he lived for 5 days, but he never gained consciousness. So I do it for the 8-year-old little girl in my life, and I do it for him. And I do it for other 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds that are being bullied. And that is my passion. That is my purpose. There's a lot of other great things I get to do in life, but every day I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to do this. And I ask you to help me, because we do need more people to stand up when they see injustice. You know, we always teach kids when we talk to them that you don't have to put yourself in harm's way. I think that's what kids are afraid of. They see Jim being bullied. They say, hey, Jim, Mrs. Smith said you have a call in the office, or you forgot to turn a paper in. I know it happens here, because it happens everywhere. You have an opportunity that upstanding. To me, bystanders are just as bad as the bully. Don't create enough gifts for someone who's trying to be unkind and hurt someone. Don't let someone's life end because of meanness and hatred. So that is my story. And I know she asked me to speak for 30 minutes, which is longer than that. So I am here if anyone has any questions. But we knew ours came from a difficult home life. And to change the culture, we have to find help for those kids that are the bully. We have to find a way to help them. The interesting thing is, though, I know that there's some research that says 25% of all bullies believe they're so superior that they have the right to bully. So when we talk about character education, we talk about teaching empathy, it doesn't work for everyone. I do think people should be held accountable for their actions. I know with our bully, it was indicated to us that she didn't have a good home life. So when she was bullied more than she was getting a lot of love at school. So I wasn't fully on board with, she comes to school and gets love for bullying a child, isn't she going to keep doing that to keep getting the love where she's not getting it at home? But I do know the school provided counseling, and I know as a citizen, if you don't get the results that you want through the school, you have lots of other mechanisms that I learned. There's court-designated workers that can force services on a family to make sure the whole family is getting what they need to, again, change that culture, change that culture.
Come on, somebody be brave.
Yes, sir? I have a strong opinion. In fact, someone got mad at me about a comment. There was a man I never heard of. His name's Ross Tucker. Anybody ever heard of him? He's an NFL analyst. And he posted that Jonathan Martin is the person that was bullied, that he would never play in the NFL again because he did not step forward and say he was being bullied. Again, that's the cycle of bullying. And further, he went on to say that he would forever wear the scarlet letter on his chest. Made me so mad. I think that story is a classic example of what happens at the child level. The bullied is being blamed. What did he do wrong? He should have told, he should have stood up. It's his fault. Like really, I hope and I believe the NFL has an opportunity to really set a great example here. And that's what I hope happens. Because what I said to Ross Tucker, who I don't know, is, again, for young boys who are being bullied, and I experienced they won't come forward. They're being bullied, they're not telling anyone, and this NFL analyst tells them, it's your fault, you'll never be anything because you didn't tell. How many kids take their life because of some kind of insensitive, irresponsible, dangerous comment? So, I haven't heard back from Mr. Tucker, but I did post a comment about that.
Sometimes I think even people from what we consider feeling of superiority.
I think there is that, and I do think there's a lot of kids who are, they just haven't grown and they don't have the confidence that they need. But I do think that this whole social media concept has changed the face of bullying. And this AskFM, I don't know if any of you were on that, but I know it's anonymous, and they've had about a suicide a month from the people that are on AskFM. I know they're changing the rules of that. I know my own daughter, she's on Instagram. I'm on Instagram too, but I'll see where kids post four pictures. Who's out, and then if the big X's are crossed on Facebook, what's the purpose of those games? And I say that to my daughter's dismay, but I question that. And we need to question those things when we see them. But it is difficult, and there is no, you can't identify who's going to be bullied. You can't identify who's going to be the bully. The interesting thing with Morgan's story really is that girl wanted to be my daughter's friend. She didn't know how to be a friend because she didn't learn that at home. And one day, like I said, I'm on the playground the day after she's supposed to be away from her, and she's rubbing her hair and rubbing her arm. What's going on? And they said in some households where the father is violent, those kids see him hitting mom, or it could be the other way around. And the next day, he's loving on mom. And that's what I was experiencing with the bully and Morgan. So sometimes they don't know how to be a good friend. And that's difficult, too. And that's where you get back to, you know, you punish that child, do you help that child? I think we should always look for the opportunity to help someone. Yes, ma'am?
Do you think it's safe for you to encourage
You know, that's an interesting question, because yesterday, part of our work, the mayor in Paducah appointed a task force on bullying, and we had some mental health professionals there yesterday. And one person at a school said, you know what, well, our philosophy is you put the two in the room, you put the kid that's bullied and the bully in the room, and you make them work it out. And I was shaking my head no the whole time, because I knew how fragile my child was at the time. And the mental health facilitator professional said, that is what you do in the adult world. But the thing about bullying is it's an imbalance of power. So if you take the child that's already at a disadvantage and you put them in a room to confront that person, it does not make the situation better. And I told him at lunch, a lot of times my daughter, because I'll counsel her all the time, you know, she'll tell me something happened and I give her a good response, what I think is a good response, and she'll say, that's your response. Which goes to show me too how far she's come. Somehow a 10-year-old responds. And I say, good for her. But again, what works in one case doesn't in another. I think ultimately, if that could be, that could happen, great. I don't know that that would ever be a solution in our situation. I do appreciate your time today. And again, I ask you to go out there and do a kind act. I tell my daughter every day before I drop her off at school, find someone today, anyone, and say, hey, what that shirt, where'd you get it? I wish I had those shoes. Your hair looks great. One kind comment. You have no idea what's going on in that person's life, and you don't know who hears it that might be inspired to do something nice. Again, our focus now is not on fighting the bully, but how can we be better people? And we hear that often. Are the kids hearing it at home? And I know there was a radio station, you could just read my life story. They were doing something called the electric chair. People could call in and fry people in the electric chair. So if I wanted to, I'd use Jim again. If I was mad at Jim, I'd call and I'd say, I'm going to fry Jim in the electric chair. I hate Jim. He's a terrible person. He stole my boyfriend, whatever. And so they publicly humiliate Jim. But what was happening is I would call all my friends before I'd call in or post it. And then that goes to school the next day. So I called the radio station, asked them to stop it. And it took a little while and they finally did. But then last week I had a call from Jamie Jones, who used to work here at the Craig County Schools, and they now had something called the Dog House. So you could call in and put somebody in the Dog House. And what I found too, back to when it was the electric chair, there was a girl that posted that she was being physically and emotionally abused by someone in her home. So I checked that out. Somebody posted that. That radio station had an obligation to report that. You can't ignore that when you see it. So that was enough to get them to take it down. But now they're doing the Dog House. And so, same thing happened. They called, and it's a new DJ, so he gave the girl's full name. So our parents called, good for them, and they said, what can we do to make this better? Well, you're going to apologize to her on the air, and you're going to come and do an anti-bullying assembly in the school. So So I say good for them, but I'm like, do not rename this. I had not taken this publicly, but I will if it's renamed. But you know what they said to me? And this is our society. If we post something negative, we get a lot more activity than if we post something positive. I get that. Does that mean that's what we do? I hope not. So on this topics.com and all these sites encourage us to anonymously say negative things. Don't participate. Again, thank you for your time. I wish you a great day, and I especially hope that you have a great experience at Murray State University. Thank you.